Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, the artist still known as Bradfoe, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. Baseball Isn't Boring is presented by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlaneEnergy.com.
All right, let's go. Live from Yankee Stadium, I want to hear Zach Coe yell it.
McFarlane!
All right, thank you. Zach, you've come a long way, my friend. You've come a long way. Do it one more time. One more time for me, please.
McFarlane.
It's like a Ricola commercial. Anyway, we appreciate the fine folks at McFarlane Energy, and I want to scream McFarlane because this is what this is about. This is about clarity. This is about enthusiasm. This is about entertaining, informing, enlightening, all the above, and that's what we're going to do here for the next couple hours, all the way up into the pregame show. Joe Wild. Joe will join us later in the show. Later in the show. Gordo will be calling in. Play Tessie, of course, the Red Hot Podcast, Play Tessie. But really, this is the time, my friends. This is the time, Zach. This is the time where you get the chance, the preeminent chance, to rant, rave, offer you your solutions, whatever it is. I don't know if you know this, but science would suggest the Red Sox lost again last night. Science would also suggest that they are 10.5 back of the Yankees. Why are we even mentioning that anymore? That's kind of ridiculous. But they are also 5 back in the wild card, and they're 5 back of 2 other teams in the American League East. 5 back of the Rays, 5 back of the Blue Jays. Those teams are 34-29. The Red Sox are 30-35. The Red Sox, let's just say it. I mean, the Red Sox, it is just a reality check here at Yankee Stadium last night. That's how it felt for me. That's how it felt for me in the story that I wrote for WEI.com. What I had said was the old idiom, and I love the word idiom, right? Idiom. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, then it is a duck. And you know what the duck is? Well, the Yankees are really good, and the Red Sox, they're not as good. Not nearly as good. The Yankees are 24-16. 24-16 against teams over 500. The Red Sox are 15-20. My point is that when you look at those two teams, we can talk about the chaos leading up to this series, the chaos leading up to this game, what has happened, how maybe you were saved for a minute with a 308-foot home run by Sadon Rafaela the other day. But all that stuff aside, when you got into this series, you wanted to see how it looked, how it felt, and all of that. It didn't feel good. For the third time in the last 4 games, you gave up 4 or more runs in the first inning. I know you'd already know all this, but I'm going to say it again. That didn't feel good if you're the Red Sox fan. That didn't feel right. And that is another example of what is wrong. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to all the things that are wrong, and I want you to weigh in 617-779-7937 to tell you our solutions or just rant, whatever you want to do. You've earned that right. 617-779-7937. The point here isn't really the chaos that has led into this. And we'll play clips from the Craig Breslow and the Greg Hill show from Thursday, whether it's about Cora, whether it's about Driveline, whatever it is. But my point is, and you can tell me, when you got here and you started watching these two teams play, how did it feel? It felt different. It felt like the Red Sox are swimming upstream. You know, we sometimes we get blinded by things like that 308-foot home run the other day. But it felt like the Red Sox are swimming upstream. They're trying to piece it together, trying to patch holes in the boat, and all of this. The Yankees, well, I told you what their record is. I told you how good they are against 500 or better teams. It was just a different vibe. And maybe the Red Sox will default to what they've defaulted to too many times, which is Garrett Crochet's pitching. That is going to stop the bleeding. That is going to make everybody feel better about themselves. Maybe. But the reality is this. The reality is, as we sit here, what is the date? June 7th. As we sit here, the Red Sox have zero identity. The Red Sox don't feel like that they are the Red Sox of June last year, where they turned the corner. Which, by the way, a bunch of names which you probably forget. I mean, Dom Smith playing first base, all of that. So the Red Sox don't feel that way. It doesn't feel like there are solutions. And this is going to lead me to my rant about what's going on right now. I understand. It's June whatever. I understand. It is one game. And you don't want to overreact. But this is something that I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. This is something I certainly have been saying for the last couple of days. This is something I certainly am saying right now. And that is, let's go. Do something. Do something. Make some sort of solution. You know, Roman Anthony isn't going to solve all the world's problems. I understand that. But I do know this. You keep banging your head against the wall when it comes to a poor kid like Christian Campbell, who is desperately, desperately screaming, not him, like literally, but his performance is screaming, just send me down. Let me reset. Jackson Holliday did it. Mike Trout did it. We have plenty of examples of that. I don't know why they aren't doing that. That is one solution. We saw it yesterday, and we'll see if it takes root in terms of maneuvering a little bit. Sinan Raffaella, for about an inning, goes in and plays second base for the first time all year. For the first time all calendar year. I mean, he didn't spend 1 minute on the dirt in spring training. So he goes in because they're maneuvering the roster, and they're bobbing and weaving their way through this game. They could have gone other avenues, but instead, Raffaella plays second. And then he moves back to the outfield. Maybe it was just a victim of circumstances. Maybe that was just a blip on the radar because they needed someone to play second right there. But this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about when it comes to doing something. I understand how good Sinan Raffaella is in the outfield. I understand he is an elite defender. I understand that, you know, that we want to say that he's caught fire and he's going to be the next Pete Crow Armstrong. I understand all that. But when we come back to what Craig Breslow's message is, every time that he's on the radio, every time we talk to him, it is they are going to do what's best for the team. That's the narrative, right? Well, there's too many times now it's piling up where it's not what's best for the team. It might be what's best for the team 2 years from now, but it's not what's best for this team. And when you push your chips to the middle of the table like the Red Sox have heading in this year, then I'm sorry. You have to keep looking at this year. I don't care if you're 5 games under 500. I don't care if you're 5 games back in the wild card. You're still somewhat in it. And you're still saying the narrative, this what we're going to do what's best for the team. So what is best for the team? And please tell me, I'm open for criticism. I'm open for conversation. I'm open for debate. But for me, it's pretty obvious what's best for the team. What's best for the team is, yeah, you sacrifice Sinan Raffaella in the outfield. You have him play second base. You move Roman Anthony up because the high end potential that Roman Anthony represents is exactly what this team needs. So just do that. And I understand why they don't want to move Rafael. I understand how there hasn't. Maybe they're waiting for someone to get hurt. We'll find out. I don't know what's going on with Willie Abreu's health. I think he's okay. I was told he was okay, but who knows? We're going to check the lineup when it comes out. But still, the fact is that you have to do what's best for the team. And for what is best for this team right now isn't just to keep doing status quo, isn't just keeping hitting our head against the wall and saying we're going to get better, 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 and then having blips of being better and saying, oh, there it is. See, we're almost there. How many weeks have we gone through this? The number, the stat, the reality that I dug up in the middle of the game yesterday, which I was like, this should send shivers down the Red Sox spine, Red Sox fan spine. Since April 23rd, the Red Sox have as many wins as the Chicago White Sox. All right, take a breath, take a step, take a beat, all of that. Understand, since April 23rd, the Red Sox have as many wins as the Chicago White Sox, each 16. So why is that important? Why should we care about that? Well, we know what the White Sox are, right? We know that they're one of the worst teams in baseball. We know that certainly that, you know, they've had some potential and they're playing better than last year, but still, I mean, they're out of it. They're not even close. What's their record right now? 21-43. All right. So since April 23rd, which is a long time, it's about a month and a half, the Red Sox have the same number of wins as the White Sox. So if that's the case, over that month and a half, and you are taking that strategy of doing very little in terms of adjustments, and we get it about the injuries to Bregman, to Casas, to Houck, to Slayton, all unfortunate things. But you know what? This Yankees team, as I'm sitting here at Yankee Stadium, this Yankee team, I don't know if you know this, they've had a lot of injuries, too, to key guys. All teams have injuries.
Haven't had Gerrit Cole all season.
Right. Haven't had Gerrit Cole. You haven't had Luis Gil. Devin Williams has been – I know he pitched last night, but he's been terrible. Luke Weaver, who basically took over the closer role, he's out now for a while. You've had plenty of injuries. All teams have these injuries, Zach. All teams have these injuries. The point is that what are you going to do? And if you have solutions, and if you have the narrative of we're going to do what's best for the team and we have options, then take those options. It is hard for me to watch this and look at it and say the best solution is not to do anything, is to keep Roman Anthony in the minor leagues, is to not free up a spot for him by moving Sedan and Rafaela to second. It's to not send Christian Campbell down to the minor leagues to get his confidence back. How are we seeing this? How are we not seeing what I'm seeing? Zach, am I crazy? You tell me where if you want to disagree, please do. 617-779-7937. Zach, you first. Tell me if I'm crazy.
I don't think you're crazy at all, and it's something that Breslow touched on Thursday with the Greg Hill Show. He said we're taking consequential steps to turn things around. I just haven't seen it yet. Like you said, Roman Anthony is in AAA continuing to rake. Christian Campbell was a worse hitter than Trevor Story in the last month. Since May 1st, he has a WRC plus of 3.
Ooh, look at you. Look at you breaking out the WRC plus. I'm so proud of you, Zach.
I am a stat nerd at my core.
Now, here comes the unfortunate part about breaking out the WRC plus. Now you have to spend the 15 minutes explaining to all of our listeners what exactly it is. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's essentially how many runs you create per plate appearance, and then the plus is park adjusted. So inherently, hitters at Coors Field are going to have more of an advantage because of the altitude, so it just kind of levels things out. Obviously, 100 is league average, so in this metric, Christian Campbell is 97% worse than
man,
the league average.
What a sexy explanation that was. Excellent job. Sexy. Excellent job, Zach. Hey, we're here to educate, inform, enlighten, all the above. But you're right. I mean, and here it is. With Christian Campbell, he's going to be a good player. This isn't a knock on Christian Campbell. It is bizarre to me. This isn't the Pedroia situation from 2007 anymore. No, it's not. This isn't like a rookie struggling anymore. And this is a guy who is clearly playing with zero confidence. This is a guy, if you ask any scout, from any team, they'll tell you the same thing. Pitch him inside. Pitch him inside. He'll hit it into the ground. Like, this is what it is. And teams are doing this over and over and over again. And he struck out a couple times last night after coming in the game. This is not a testament to, like, Christian Campbell, what he's going to be. It is a reality. It is what's best for this team. And, yeah, it's uncomfortable to move one of the best outfielders in baseball out of that position in center field. But you have to – if you're going to talk about what's best for this team, that, to me, is a solution. That, to me, is what we're talking about. I mean, that's the way it feels to me, because you got to get some high-end talent. You got to get some potential. I mean, that's what Marcelo Meyer represents. He hit a home run last night. Good for him. And good for him, by the way. I don't know if you saw. You go check out my socials at Bradfo, the Instagram, WEI Instagram. The video of him meeting up with the kid from Manhattan, Jesse from Manhattan, who caught the ball on the fly, caught his home run on the fly. And all Jesse and his family asked for was an autographed bat and an autographed ball. But Marcelo came out after this loss, met with Jesse and his friends and family, and that was cool because we had seen the other side of that. We had seen the Yoshida thing. We had seen the Casas thing. So kudos to Jesse from Manhattan. Kudos to Marcelo Meyer. My point is that Marcelo Meyer represents high-end talent. Marcelo Meyer represents, if he gets hot, he has that type of skill set where you're like, okay, that is a next-level player. Much like Christian Campbell was the first month of the season. Roman Anthony represents that as well. You have this offense. You have this dynamic right now where you just need more of that. You need more of that. But I say all that, but really the reality is, you know, yeah, that's a solution, but there's another part of this, enormous part of this, which is why they haven't been winning these games lately, and that is pitching. That is, they have not, and Gordo's going to be calling in at the bottom of the hour to explain one of his tweets about the numbers that the Red Sox pitchers have when it comes to finding swings and misses. It is putrid. It is awful. I mean, what they're getting from results from this pitching staff right now is not good. I'm talking about the starters. As I said, the last four games, three of them, you've given up four or more runs in the first inning. Going back for the last month, the Red Sox starters have had the second fewest innings in all of baseball. The second fewest innings in all of baseball. The third worst OPS against. The third worst batting average against. That's the starting pitching for the Boston Red Sox. And so when we look at problems, we look at solutions. Yeah, you know, we keep screaming and yelling about Roman Anthony, and we should. But they also have to figure out this other part of the equation. Because I'm not even going to mention the bullpen because they don't deserve criticism. They don't. I mean, they've been running to the ground. That if we're talking about solutions and fixing problems and everything else, really this start with figuring out a way to get through the first inning without giving up four or more runs, getting more than 4 2/3 innings from the starters, and then also having more consistent offense and hitting with runners in scoring position. All that. So we're going to play some of the Breslow a little bit later about his appearance in the Greg Hill Show. A couple clips I do want to play from that are, number one, when they asked about the driveline dynamic, because I think that whole thing gets twisted on both sides, and I want to give my take on it because that is an important part of the conversation, and also just his response to the Alex Cora phenomenon or Alex Cora's job security. Because I also have some thoughts on that. All right, again, 617-779-7937. I see you all lined up. I appreciate it. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Here's Zach Cotren.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees 9-6, the final in the Bronx last night. First inning woes continued for the Sox. Walker Buehler allowing 5 in the first frame. Not all bad for the Sox, though. You heard Brad Foe just mention it. Top prospect Marcelo Meyer with his first major league home run. With that loss, they have now lost 7 of their last 10, sit 5 games under 500, and 10.5 games back of the Yankees for first place in the AL East. They'll look to bounce back tonight with Garrett Crochet on the mound opposite Ryan Yarbrough. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:35. Then the Wills, Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game. First pitch from Yankee Stadium at 7:35. Patriots OTAs wrapped up down at Gillette. Next up for the Pats, mandatory minicamp. That one gets underway on Monday. Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers evened up the Stanley Cup Finals at one game apiece with a 5-4 double overtime win in Edmonton. Marchand had two goals, including the double OT winner. Series shifts back to Florida for Game 3 on Thursday. Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers stole Game 1 in Oklahoma City on Thursday night. Game 2 goes down tomorrow night in Oklahoma City, tip-off at 8 o'clock. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Baseball Isn't Boring coming up after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go live from Yankee Stadium. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm Rob Bradford. So honored to be here. Thank you, McFarland Energy, for powering us. And by the way, a roster move's coming for the Red Sox. Robert Stock is going to be coming back. Robert Stock. Zach, you psyched about that?
2020 Red Sox legend.
Oh, he is a legend. He's a great guy. Very great story, too. Signed out of the Mexican League, and I hope he sticks. You know, they usually turn over these relievers, and that's the unfortunate thing about baseball right now is that, you know, there's over and over and over and over again when it comes to just turning over the relievers, turning over the bullpen. But the Red Sox, their hand was forced. Cooper Criswell is going to be going to Worcester. So, anyway, I know that people haven't really been calling about or lined up to call about Robert Stock, and that's okay. But you can talk about anything you want. 617-779-7937. And as always, it started off with Jeff in Watertown. Jeff, how are you, my friend? I was worried about you. Everything okay? I think last week we couldn't find you.
Yeah, Beth, I was in a church retreat, and I thought I could call you during lunch, but they locked up our phones and our electronics, so I was stuck.
As you know from that church retreat, there's a reason for everything, so there you go. Yeah, So it's
and
good
the pastor's a Red Sox fan too, so I thought it'd be okay. But never mind. Well, anyway,
he knew that you needed a respite. He knew that you didn't need to lower the heart rate a little bit. But.
I do lower the heartbeat. That's right. So a couple of things. One is, you know, for 5 years they haven't been doing what's best for the team. They've been doing what's best for the organization. That's what they've been talking about. What's best for the organization. This year, like you said, they put all the chips in. Now it's supposed to be about the team, and it's like you put all the chips in the middle of the table, and then you get scared. Because everything that they're doing is out of fear at this point. They're afraid to talk to Devers. They're afraid to send Campbell down. They're afraid to bring, you know, Anthony up. It just seems like they're afraid. The starting pitching, you know, yeah, there were times like last night when the starting pitching wasn't good. But there were a lot of times in the last month where they were just afraid to have the same pitcher, you know, face the third time around in the order, even though the pitchers were doing well. It just seems like everything about this organization is out of fear. They seem to be paralyzed with fear. It makes absolutely no sense to send Christian to keep Christian Campbell up here.
It makes no sense at all. It really is bizarre. And you go back, Jeff, to when they were working out at first base, and smartly they moved away from that. But even then, when they were doing that, the kid was struggling mightily, and you're introducing another position to him to only fill his brain fill more of stuff that he has to worry about. And we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it. These are non-competitive at bats. Non-competitive at bats in the field. He doesn't look like he's playing with a lot of confidence. I just feel like you can get something out of this guy, Christian Campbell, this season, Jeff, but you can't do it in this fashion. And so you're right.
Drowning, and you got to get him back on dry land. Get him, you know, get him dried off, and then let him, you know, stick his foot back in the water again. Like you
no, and Jeff, know, I real quick, but you know, I'm glad you brought up the fear thing, right? Because you know what another thing they're fearful of? They're fearful of taking Sidan Rafael out of center field and be like because he, understandably, one of the best center fielders in all the game. I mean, that's just a fact. But we'll come back to it.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Right. Well, we'll come back to it. Right now, for the here and now, what is best for the team, which is what they keep saying, what is best for the team that is going to make you a better team, in our estimation, whether it's because you're sending Campbell down, you're improving second base, you're calling up Anthony, what is best for the team? That it seems like a pretty sensible thing, right?
And Rafael is not balking at it. He went in the second. I mean, he went in the second base. He went back to center field. I didn't hear him complaining about it. I heard him, you know, talking about doing whatever he can for the team. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. The other quick thing is, to me, you know, if they make moves, to me, the only thing they can really do is some kind of big trade and just really try to shake up the organization and the team. I can't see them getting rid of Bailey because, to me, Bailey and Breslow, you know, are hand in hand. I mean, they had this philosophy. I bought into it. I believe them. I'm skeptical now, but at the time, so I can't imagine mid-season bringing in another pitching coach and coming in with a different philosophy. I don't think they should fire Cora at this point. I think that wouldn't be fair to him either. Though, you know, my confidence in him is shaken, so to me, like, you know, the only thing that they could do right now is, you know, shake things up, move some people, get rid of some dead wood, bring in Anthony, get a freaking first baseman that can hit, that, you know, a veteran, somebody to help anchor the team. I mean, you know, it's nice that there's a nice story that, you know, these guys are helping out at first base. But we need, you know, we need some veteran leadership that, you know, somebody that plays the position, knows the position, and can hit. I mean, to me, you got to shake the team. That, to me, is the only thing they can do, because I don't think they're going to do any.
Well,
I think
Jeff, the overall take, and I agree with you, is you got to do something. Like, you have to do something. And with all due respect to our good friend Robert Stock, you got to do something more than that. Jeff.
Not him. Yeah.
All right, good to hear from you, man.
Week.
All right, let's go to Steve in Centerville. What's going on, Steve? Thanks for holding on. What's going
on? Yes. Thank you so much for taking my call, Bradfo. A couple of things to make the team better. I think Breslow is just over his skis here. And I want to ask you, because I think you're really a baseball guy, do you trust him if they have to blow up the team in a month to really get out there and make the best decisions to get returns on some of our players? Do you trust him?
We don't know that. And I'm not going to cop out, Steve, and say, oh, well, you know, maybe not. But we don't know. We're trying to store is still getting the landscape of the success rate of Craig Breslow as a trade guy. Last year at the trade deadline was not good. That was, I mean, you identified a couple relief pitchers and a lot of people applauded you because you gave up, you know, all those guys were going to be like Rule 5 eligible anyway. But you, the guys that you got back, those weren't good solutions. Danny Jansen was not a good solution. James Paxton was not a good solution. So, you know, the Garrett Crochet trade, good. But we don't have enough a body of work to say, oh, he's going to be good if this happens. We don't know this. But I do know this. One thing that I really would like to see Breslow do more is exactly what we're talking about. You know, if it's a trade, if it's the Anthony thing, whatever it is, just be more aggressive. And Steve, really what this comes back to for all of baseball front offices is that we don't see enough of that. We see too many teams being paralyzed by this situation. You have no room to be paralyzed right now.
And second question, on the whole Bailey and Breslow pitching masters that are going to revolutionize the pitching staff, how many more years do we need on the, you know, spin rate and all that baloney and, you know, first inning ERA of 7? How much more of a sample frame do you think we need before we say, you know what, don't think this is working out?
Yeah, well, I mean, and thanks for the call, Steve. You know, I think that it's a results business. And, you know, we heard Walker Buehler after the game last night, and he's talking about pitches he's working on. He thinks this is going to be impactful and so forth and so on. Well, it's a results business. And we said it before. We cited the stats. In the last month, innings pitched for starters, second to worst in all the major leagues. Opponents batting average, third to worst. OPS against, third to worst. And Zach, what was the number you had?
The Christian Campbell WRC plus.
No. The starters. The going back.
The ERA going back. So if you go back to May 1st of last season, they ranked 22nd in staff ERA after starting the year as the best pitching staff in baseball.
Yeah. So it is not good. And so you can take that philosophy, you can take that approach, whatever it is. And whether it's health, whether it's approach, whether it's pitch selection, whatever it is. You know, I people keep talking about this. Either it's a results business. I hate to clarify and simplify it that way, but it just is. Other teams have injuries. Other teams are getting other pitchers in different ways. Other teams are taking different philosophies. Some are taking maybe similar philosophies. But it's a results business. And are you not getting the results that you thought you would get, as Zach said, going all the way back to then? That's just how it is. Gordo joins us. Gordo, you there?
Bradfo, what's up?
Man, I miss you. I miss your scent. I miss your opinion and your take. Not being in person, right here at Yankee Stadium, but I'm glad you're calling in. Gordo, before you rant, can we get through some of these callers? I want you to be part of this, okay?
All right.
Let's go to Allison Cambridge. There's no better place to start your day, Gordo, than Allison Cambridge. Allison, I referenced
you. Hi, guys.
Allison, I referenced you in a radio hit in San Diego when they asked me about Xander Bogaerts, and their response was, "Please have Allison call us anytime." So there you go.
Thank you so much for that. That I just feel like it's a combination of the Yiddish expression for nerve succeeds, like being ballsy and brave, and also just good communication skills. Last week when I thought I was still on, that I had a softer way of imagining how things could work with Rafi and with Alex Cora, that starting off with, obviously in the offseason, there should have been honesty and, you know, instead of saying that Alex Bregman would say second base. But anyhow, that I felt like there's a way to move forward to have is just try to make things as good as possible. And then the pitching that happened this week, that the three of those, it's like, oh, my God, what are you going to do? So I think that I'm going to put those three pitching performances on the back burner. Forget them for now. And I do think that a combination of nerve succeeds and just communicating, that I really want I think that our GM, he's, why am I blanking on his name? It's all
Craig
the time.
Breslow.
Okay, Alex and Craig Breslow. That Alex and Craig Breslow, I want them both to sit down and talk, and I want them to talk with the players. that I want, like, them to talk about. But for instance, if the best thing to do now, obviously bringing up Roman Anthony, but if the best thing is to have Rafi be either playing third base until Alex Bregman comes back or playing first base and working on that, I want it to be like we're all in this together and we just have to make the best of it. It's kind of like my Scrabble theory of life. You're not waiting for the Z's and the Q's, you know, and the U that goes with the Q. You just have to play your hand that you're given and make it as good as possible. And I don't think we have anybody who's a real butthead. I mean, I think that Craig Breslow is a nice fellow. I think that Alex Cora is a nice fellow. I think Rafi's a nice fellow. I don't think we're dealing with people who are mean people. And so there's always a way to communicate if you just say, we've gotten into a situation. There are a zillion things that have done this. I think that everyone totally overrated this team. Why did we think that Tristan Casas was going to be so great? Why did we think that Giron would duplicate what he did last year? And what about Tanner Hawk? We already knew in the second half of the year that Tanner wasn't good after he was an All-Star. So I think that it was totally overrated, and that we should have paid for Max Fried. We should have gotten Garrett Crochet and Max Fried. There's a zillion things we should have done, but this is where we are here now. And so I just think that we should just work together.
All right, Allison, we got to get
in a
going.
You're very.
I love the Scrabble analogy. Thanks for the call, Allison. Gordo.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before.
That's a good one, though. You can't wait for the Q's and the Z's.
You can't wait for the Q's and the Z's.
Isn't that kind of feels like they're waiting for the Q's and the Z's? So aren't they?
The communication thing. I want to get to her point about the communication, because everyone talks about Cora and Breslow and Rafi, but when we had Kevin Millar on play testing, he brought up a good point. It's like where are his teammates? And I understand that, you know, not everyone on this team, in fact, almost everyone on this team is not necessarily qualified enough to speak to Rafael Devers and tell him this is what you should be doing. But if a group thinks that that's best for the team, then why can't you sit him down? And you've got a guy in Alex Bregman who's qualified to sit him down. Why do you think the players on the team are not getting involved here when the team struggles so much?
No, I think it's a good point. I mean, this is one of the problems is when you have a situation with someone makes a bad play. Sedan Rafael throws a cutoff guy, and the coaching staff sits down with him. Alex Cora sits down with him. Well, you know, I've talked to so many guys, so many executives, so many players that say, yeah, you have that version of the message, but you also need the version of the message coming from the players. The one that jumps out, I remember talking to Torrey Lovello a couple years ago when they had Evan Longoria. Remember that? I mean, Evan Longoria was on his last legs, but Evan Longoria could give the message. Justin Turner could give the message. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure, so I think that is a very impactful thing that's probably missing. I mean,
why can't Alex Bregman not do that? Like, isn't that part of why he was brought in here? Like, why is that not happening?
But I think it's part of it, right? But you know, the I don't want to say the fly in the ointment, but the part that is the uncomfortable part is that the other guy in there, especially with the Latin American players, the other guy is Rafael Devers, and Rafael Devers, that's not his personality. We all know the situation he's going through. And then when it comes to Bregman and the Devers situation, Gordo, we've said this a million times, it's like he's caught in the middle of that. Like, so
I understand initially.
Well, what's Bregman going to run up to Rafael Devers and say, grab a glove, go play first? You're hurting the team.
Yeah, why not?
Well,
why not?
You and I would say why not. But at this point, we just have to face the reality is. And that's the unfortunate reality. I don't disagree with you, Gordo. I don't. I agree with you. It's your prerogative to be right in this case. Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever heard that one.
I know. Hold on, I get a trademark. Okay.
Hang the banner.
Gordo, let's take another call, all right? Alex
let's
in Connecticut. Alex in Connecticut. What's going on, Alex?
Yeah, hi, Rafa. You know, there's so many things here I could go ranting and ranting on about, but I'm just going to take a couple here. We knew what we needed to do in the beginning of the year. We needed two frontline starters. We needed to address first base. We needed a right-handed bat. All right, now, the right-handed bat took forever to get, and the only reason we got it was because of Cora. That's the only reason we signed Bregman. It isn't because of Breslow didn't even want him. Breslow is a huge problem because he's not a GM. He shouldn't be here. The only reason he signed Grochet is because Theo Epstein had to hold his hand through the whole process. When he had a chance to get Max Fried, he didn't get him because he didn't want to give him that extra year. Oh, God forbid. So he went over to the Yankees. And then we ended up with Buehler. Now, I'm not going to get all down on Buehler because even last night he said, quote, unquote, these traditionally haven't been what I do very often. Obviously, I'm throwing a lot of sliders and I'm throwing a lot of two-seamers. Why? Andrew Bailey. There you go. Andrew Bailey being protected by a GM that nobody thinks is doing a good job. That's the truth. Why do we have Sedane Rafaela? Why isn't Kristen Campbell going, you know, back down to reset, which he should? You know, we never, you know, why do we have, you know, problems at first base? You know, Kristen Campbell signed, Brian Bello signed, and Rafaela signed. Let me ask you a question. If Anthony, you notice Anthony's not up yet, but if Anthony was signed to a 5-year, $65 million contract, I can guarantee you he would have been up here 5 days ago. And that's the problem, because they're always, you know, they're always worried about the money part. They've got a nice buffer by putting a guy like Breslow in between, who's too scared of his own shadow to do anything. Trevor Story, which was the only signing, which was a disaster by Hein Bloom, which, if you really go back, that's the real problem, because Dombrowski, you know, he takes all the blame for everything. But Dombrowski is the guy that people never say, hey, he's the one that gave us Tristan Casas. He's the one that gave us Sedane Rafaela. He's the one that gave us Brian Bello. No one ever says that, by the way. And going, you know, my mind's all over the place with Rafaela. The other day when we played the Orioles and Soriano was pitching, if you remember, the first six guys got on base. Now, you know, if you remember, when Meyer, who was just a rookie, gets up there, he had a beautiful at bat. Beautiful at bat. He worked out a walk. Now the next guy was Toro. Toro took two balls, and then he had a single. Now comes Rafaela. I sit here, I look to my wife, and I said, I will guarantee you he will jump out of his shoes to hit that ball. First pitch, he couldn't wait to hit, and it was a ball. He doesn't know how to bat. He doesn't know how to work a count. He ended up striking out. The next guy that came up was Toro, took two balls, it was Hamilton. He took two balls, and then he hit a double.
All right, wait. I appreciate you raised a lot of good points, and also you have massive street cred with your wife. So excellent job. But thanks for the call. We got to take a break. Gordo, can you hang on through the break?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So we haven't even gotten Gordo's take on the whole situation. I apologize. Before we go to the break, Gordo, any thoughts on Alex? He just hit on basically everything. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, the only thought I have is that I've been pretty critical of Sedane Rafaela, but now I feel like it's not necessarily the time to be critical of him. He's played probably the best baseball of his career.
What did you make? Well, he goes into play second base, and everyone will say, well, that was just roster maneuvering. That was lineup maneuvering because of what you had. But the fact of the matter was he had not worked out a single day there in spring training. They had been very adamant that he wasn't going to go there. And then, boom, he goes there. I mean, we've seen them dig in on other parts of the field. We've seen them dig in on, obviously, the Devers. He's not going to play there. We've seen on other Hamilton, he was going to play outfield. He's not playing outfield. You know, we've seen other elements where they say dug in. And then all of a sudden, they make this pivot. And you dare to dream, Gordo. Wait a second. Are they actually thinking of doing exactly what we have been talking about, which is freeing up a spot for Roman Anthony by introducing Sedane Rafaela to second, or am I overthinking that?
Well, I think what it shows you first is that they trust him to do things with the glove that they don't necessarily trust other guys to do. What other player are they trusting to play even a single inning at a position that they haven't worked out at all this year? It's just Sedane Rafaela. So that shows the trust there. But yeah, no, it does, I think, show a little bit of a window to what life could be like in, what, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whenever Roman Anthony does come up.
It should be today. I mean, in fairness, they got a couple lefties pitching, I get it. So whatever, but it should be today.
It should be today, and to be honest with you, and the more he hits, the less I'll feel firm about this opinion, but I don't love the idea of Sedane Rafaela playing the infield. Just he's maybe an average infield defender at best, and with the bat, I know it's been hot lately, but in general, it is a below league average bat.
His value comes in center field. After the break, that's the question I'm going to ask you. It's a very simple question, which is,
all right, let's
which,
do it.
Which is better for the team? Don't give your answer. Which is better for the team? Sedane Rafaela going from outfield to infield, playing second base, and then you free up a spot for Roman Anthony. So Sedane Rafaela at second, Roman Anthony in the outfield. Or Sedane Rafaela in the outfield, and the collection of second basemen that you have, which is basically David Hamilton and Christian Campbell right now. Don't answer that. Hold on, everybody. 617-779-7937. I appreciate all the calls. I see you all lining up. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'll be back after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
All right, let's go. I hope everybody's having a fantastic day. I hope everybody has had a fantastic week. We at Baseball Isn't Boring have had a fantastic week at BB Isn't Boring. Another cavalcade of stars coming on through the Baseball Isn't Boring studios, and we'll keep it going next week. Go check that out. Podcast every single day. Along with the Play Tessie podcast, had another great week. Gordo's with us from the Play Tessie podcast. You guys had Kevin Millar on. Congratulations.
Yeah, Millar was great. It was good. It was really good talking about the state of the Red Sox. All the pressing issues from a former big leaguer's perspective is always great to hear.
All the pressing issues from a former big leaguer. Did you put that in the description? Like, you did that so well. All the pressing issues from a former big leaguer's perspective. Put it on the
bumper
stickers.
It's just off the top of the head, Rob. You got to ask Joe Braverman.
Look at you. All right. Lineup is out. I'm going to give you the lineup before you answer my question. Duran's in left, Devers in DH, Ref Snyder in right, Narvaez at catcher, Roman Gonzalez at first base, Abraham Toro at third, Story at shortstop, Rafael in center, and Christian Campbell at second. So obviously, with a lefty on the mound, no Abreu, no Marcelo Meyer. It's one way to go. It's one way to go, Gordo. I would like to see Marcelo Meyer. Abreu thing's weird. That whole thing last night was weird. That whole pinch hitting strategy, that was weird. But also, Abreu aside, I want to see Marcelo Meyer hit more against lefties. I just do. So that's just my feeling. And maybe it's my prerogative to be wrong. I don't know. All right, answer the question, Gordo. The question before the break was very simple. Which is better? Which would you like better? Rafaela at second, Roman Anthony in the outfield, or Rafaela in the outfield and the collection of second baseman David Hamilton and Christian Campbell at second? Which do you want?
If those are my two options, I would take the first one, the one that gets Roman Anthony in the majors. But I'll tell you the sequence that I would do here. You call Roman Anthony up, I think Christian Campbell, it took me a long time to get here because I genuinely believe in Christian Campbell, but I do think that he could use a breather, get his head straight. You know, I'm sure it feels like the weight of the world is on his shoulders with everything he's been having to lift. And now he gets the first base thing is done, but I think he could use some time in AAA to work through some things. He'll come back better. And you can play Rafaela at second base for that stretch. And if Rafaela plays well, then it forces a conversation. If he regresses back to what he was, which we've seen hot stretches like this from Rafaela before, I think that's coming. He probably will be back to what he was. And if that happens, Christian Campbell comes back up. He takes second base. And then your outfield is Roman Anthony in left, Jaron Duran in center, Willier Abreu in right. That's what I would do.
So I'm confused. You would play Rafaela in second and send Christian Campbell down.
I would do that. And yeah, then as soon as Campbell's back, you evaluate where Rafaela is.
Well, I mean, if Rafaela comes back to earth.
We can
wait on that. I mean, that's fine. We can wait on that. So you're right. I mean, once again, it's your prerogative to be right. I think that is the way to go. 2 for 2. Your instincts have never been keener, my friend. And so I look at it as it comes back to this, Gordo, which is the lack of imagination, the lack of creativity, the lack of understanding that you have to make bold move, that you can't just keep going down the same road. I don't know if you felt this way watching this game last night, Gordo, but I just felt like there's two different levels of teams. It's just two different levels of teams. The Red Sox are just floundering when it comes to trying to find an identity, and the Yankees are just a far better team, I feel. And they have holes, they have injuries, and everything else. But for the Red Sox, you can't just keep rolling this group out there and just expecting that you're going to all of a sudden win a cavalcade of 1-1 games. All of a sudden, you're going to find the 3-game win streak out of nowhere. You can't just expect that just doing the same stuff. You have to do something different other than calling up Robert Stock, which they did today.
No, I 100% agree. It feels like they've waited way too long to make fundamental changes, not to just the lineup, but to how they attack hitters. It feels like you said, it's just the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And it almost feels like they're afraid to make changes and look dumb. But in the end, the truth is you look dumb losing games the way you do every single night. And it's something new every single night. And it's frustrating to watch. And
people would almost respect it if you tried something new.
You know,
I'm going to get to Denise in a second here, but the question I would like to ask Breslow, I was thinking about this after the Greg Hill interview, which was, you know, it's good that you're always thinking about, as he said, always looking at what works and what doesn't, always thinking about what's going to be the best for the team. Well, I would ask him this. Okay, of the things that you thought would work, and I'm not talking about Bregman or Casas or whatever, Hauk, whatever it is, of the things that you thought you work in terms of approach, and maybe that's throwing as many breaking balls as you have. Maybe it's hiring all these people. Maybe whatever it is, of these things that you thought would work because you were from the outside looking in and you said, Lou, we can do this and we do this and we can evolve. What hasn't worked? What hasn't taken root? Is that that's a fair question, right? I mean, I think that's an important question.
I'd be curious to see how he'd answer that because he's not going to sit there and throw people under the bus, but there are a lot of things and a lot of fingers that can be pointed at a lot of different people in this organization for where they are right now.
Yeah, well, I think that you go in, it's like anything. Like when you have executive, you have a manager, you have a coach in whatever sport, they come in and they're going to change the world. Oh, you know what? With all due respect, they were doing it this way. I'm going to do it this way. And we see the deficiencies and we see what is going wrong. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, maybe it wasn't that wrong. Maybe it wasn't that extreme. Anyway, Denise, thanks for hanging on. I appreciate it. Sorry to be taking so long to get to you, but Denise and Wareham, what's going on, Denise?
That's okay. Hi, how are you?
Good.
You guys cracked me up. I dig you. And a sexy answer. So I just wanted to say a couple of things. Christian Campbell, I don't think he's giving 100%. And I feel like I don't know how many times this year so far they've had bases are full and screwed it up. And I just wanted to talk about Devers. He disgusts me. How disrespectful and entitled, like, is he? You know what I mean? How does that look for the team? You know there's got to be resentment somewhere among them. And what about the new guys? How does that look? You know, it's like, no, I don't want to do that. No. For the money that he gets, he should be bending over backwards for the team. That's my opinion.
No, Denise, it's fair. I mean, it's fair. And the thing is, Denise, I don't know if there is that mentality in there. I don't know if there is this, hey, Rafi, what are you doing? How come you aren't picking up a first baseman's glove to help the team? And that's a problem to me.
I don't understand why everyone's tiptoeing around the guy.
I think that when we talk about – it's two different conversations, Denise, right? It's Rafael Devers is really good. Rafael Devers is having a very good offensive season. Rafael Devers, in respect to that, is part of the solution, not part of the problem.
He hasn't been great.
But no, he's been great. He's been really good. But it's two different conversations. Is that, and then it's right for the approach of the team. And people, that's not as much of a tangible thing, because they can point to, oh, look at Rafi is tearing it up at DH. He's going to be okay. That's where he should belong. But it's not as tangible if I say, well, this cloud is hanging over the team is because, you know, like you have, to your point, Denise, they're walking on eggshells about it, and they have been for 3 months now. Like I can't imagine that is a good thing when it comes to us trying to figure out what the problem is here. So I think you're
going to have to do an intervention. They're going to tell them it's a surprise birthday, and everybody's in there, and they're going to all say, "What's wrong with this picture?"
See, there you go, Denise. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. All right, Cordell.
If the team would do something closer to that, then maybe we'd be a little bit further along. Like, I sit here wondering how many people in the organization have actually spoken to him about playing the field. And then, like, obviously their issues go so much further beyond that, and we saw it with the pitching last night. But it boggles my mind that he would not play the field when you could see the caliber of lineup you could have.
Yeah, but it's almost come and gone, right? It's almost come and gone. Like that is for whatever reason, he's put his stake in the ground. They've put their stake in the ground. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it. That doesn't mean that this isn't a potential problem. Gordo, the fact is that since the owner and the chief baseball officer fueled up the jet to fly to Kansas City to meet with Rafael Devers, and then Alex Cora and John Henry meets with Rafael Devers, nothing has changed. Nothing. Except, like, some random video of him goofing around, taking grounders in short. Nothing has changed, and we have gotten no other explanation of what came of that. Nothing.
And they still leave the door slightly propped open, too. So, it obviously, I think we would have these conversations even if they closed the door fully, because a huge part of the story of this season is how it began with Devers being moved to DH and not taking to it kindly. And another big part of the season is going to be him refusing to go back onto the field and wasting all this time and the Red Sox losing all these games because of it. But them keeping the door propped open makes it much easier to continue talking about it, because there's hope.
Gordo, and we can talk more about this after the break, but it comes back to what I said, and Craig Breslow reiterated this on the Greg Hill Show on Thursday. Keeps saying, we're going to do what's best for the team. We're going to do what's best for the team. And when they say, Alex Bregman, you're playing third, you're not playing second, that's where he was talking about. Okay, fine. But what is best for the team? There are too many other examples right now, which from our perspective, it really sure seems like their approach is not exactly what's best for the team. The Devers situation, the Christian Campbell situation, the Roman Anthony situation, like the approach, the digging in on the approach of the starters, we're not getting results situation, all of that. Like, that is not what you said that was your motivation. That is not what was best for the team. And you know how I know that? Because it's not working. It's not working. Anyway, 617-779-7937. We're going to be with you to the pregame show. Gore's going to be with us for a little bit here. I appreciate it. Play Tessie podcast. Go check that out. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show at BB Isn't Boring. Zach Code behind the glass again. Call him, 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.